Yo, welcome to another episode of On the Serious 33 and the Third Podcast. It's your man, DeLeo DiCaprio, a.k.a. Filthy McNasty, a.k.a. Danny Domino, a.k.a. your mama's next door neighbor's illegitimate second cousin on your adopted nephew's side.
How many times?
Twice removed.
Yo, it's your boy, Drew Nitty, a.k.a. International Drew, a.k.a. that Black Star Kid, a.k.a. that Ghanaian gangster. I ain't got no more a.k.a.s today.
Right. Yo, what up? It's TJ, a.k.a. Tired Teej, a.k.a. my cousin's friend got the vaccine and his car got towed.
Wow.
What?
Interesting.
Yo, I just want to make sure I get everybody's pronouns right, so yeah, that's wow. My thing.
Here you go, you're back.
That's my thing.
If you're really interested in getting anyone's pronouns right, they'll usually tell you if they have specific pronouns, and you just fucking listen and say what they say. There you go. No, it's really that simple. What the fuck you gnawing about? It's really that simple.
Okay.
All right. Whatever.
Everybody, welcome to On the Serious 33 and the Third. We got a great show for you today. We got a special guest coming up later. Be on the listen for that. And, yo, I just took my suit that I wore to the Met Gala to the cleaners today. And, yeah.
Was it a suit?
Well, it was.
A dress. Just say it was a dress.
It was a dress for men.
It was actually made of hot dogs. So
You went the Lady Gaga route.
Yeah, I went the Lady Gaga route.
You wore meat to the event. Okay.
Well, the top part was hot dogs, and then the bottom part was Michelin tires.
Nice.
So, okay. Yeah. So you like meat and rubbers.
Pause. Jesus. Oh, man, I couldn't even get my joint going. Okay.
Nobody caught the car. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I couldn't get
He said it.
That's what I was trying to get. But, yeah, so, man, did y'all see any of the Met Gala fashions? Was y'all looking?
I mean, it was across my timeline. I didn't go looking, but if I scrolled Twitter or IG, you know, over those last couple of days, then I couldn't help but see them. I don't remember much. ASAP Rocky looked like a bowl of Captain Crunch and
mixed with Grandma's Quilt.
Okay, and then Iman is Iman. That's all I remember.
Listen,
Iman, and your boy Lil Nas X looking like C-3PO.
Yes, he did. Yes, yeah, I couldn't remember. Was that where he wore that, or did he wear the Randy Watson one? That was at the MTV Awards. Yeah, where he was Randy Watson from Coming to America.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of that kid.
I love that kid. I don't even really fuck with his music. I just like that he fucks with people.
He gave birth, so he's no longer pregnant, and
He had a healthy. What's the album name? Montero?
Montero, yeah.
He had a healthy little Montero. Yeah. So we'll see if that whole shit results to people actually streaming and where he places on Billboard next week, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't even like his name.
Right. He's not allowed to have Nas in his name.
Nope. I pronounce it as it's Nas. You're Nas. Because there's only Nas is Nas. You're Nas. And that's just that. I won't like.
That's a good way to put that. I didn't think of it like that.
You can't be. You're not Nas. You're Nas. Little Nas X. That's fine, but not no.
That's like A$AP Rocky. His real first name is Rakim because he was named after Rakim, but he knew not to put that shit in his rap.
Yeah. No, you're Rocky, and Nas is not Little Nas X.
Yo, I almost didn't make it for the show tonight, man. I literally just got back from driving in traffic last night from the Mexican Independence Day festivities.
Hey,
you know what?
That was just rude.
Listen,
that was very rude. Like, BA already trying to get us canceled. Drew's trying to get us canceled and killed.
Wait. Ain't that the same guy that just said something about African booty scratchers last week?
That's different.
No,
I said No, what I said was, I'm tired of people like Jack Carl said, African booty scratch a lot, you know, and then turned around and said, oh, I love their music and I'm going to play it. No, that's what I was saying. That had nothing to do with what I just did.
So. Drew, do you like Mexican food?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you just did the same thing.
How you going to try to justify your racism?
Well, first of all, I don't like, hold on. Like, the only thing I really eat is tacos, and it is basically one type of taco from Bureau Bar, and that's it.
Wait, so, what kind of tacos is Bureau Bar?
He gets the cheeseburger taco.
Then TJ going to start dissing, saying my palate sucks, and it's going to be a whole other thing. I'm getting to it.
Wait a minute. You know, I get to eat one type of taco. Like, okay, all right, dog the bounty hunter. The brothers gave me permission to say that.
Hey. I guarantee you 90% of that, when people were trying to get dip in and out of traffic downtown, they were calling the Mexican something worse than I did.
Oh my God, Jesus.
So
listen,
and all I said was nobody said nothing to LeBron James when he was doing Taco Tuesday, did they? Nope.
He didn't make the sound effect, though.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Drew just said, a lot of my friends are tacos. That's what he just said.
Yes, he did. Nobody said that to LeBron James when you were doing that Taco Tuesday chant. Nope.
And then he deflects to someone else. It's all the plastic signs, Drew.
Shut up. Mr. Me Too movement. Shut up.
Some of my best friends are tacos. I have Mexican friends. I'm not racist. I've been to Cancun 3 times.
You have.
Shout out to my Latino brothers and sisters. They turned the F up last night.
Yo,
all I'm saying is Juneteenth.
You know what they said? That's what I tweeted that. Juneteenth don't end up like how this was. We failed as a race.
I don't think so, Drew. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yo, I don't think you would be allowed to do it up like that.
We're going to get shot. If not, we're going to shoot each other. That's just.
They were literally driving down the Michigan Avenue sidewalk, bro. Like,
that's crazy. Yo, I could probably say this because I wasn't down there and I didn't go through any of it. But hey, I ain't mad at my Mexican brothers and sisters for doing that. Fuck it. Like this last year and a half has been fucked up. And you got something to celebrate, do that shit.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes, indeed.
So I don't think we'd ever be able to pull that off in Chicago on Juneteenth, perhaps. No, I don't see it for us.
I was inconvenienced for about 2 hours, but fortunately I didn't have to sit in traffic.
Only 2 hours.
I did have to take mad alternate routes. It was crazy. Like
you bad when your navigation just say, man, go wherever the hell you can go.
Right. Basically, that's what it was, Drew. I had to
except Lower Wacker.
Well, that was the thing. I did have to go to Lower Wacker because
you on your own then.
Right.
No, Dave is one of the like 4 people in Chicago that can actually decently navigate it.
Man.
GPS is you don't have that's it's gone.
It is, but
please don't have your GPS on because you on your own.
My location scout, Spidey senses kicked in, and Jamila was taking me to dinner for my birthday, and we were about to be late for our reservation. So,
didn't make a second one, a backup to.
Man, hey, listen, we still ended up getting there.
I see what you tried to do, but it actually would have made sense for him to make a backup reservation.
For that same reason. But you know what? I know that he would have called if he didn't need one of them and canceled it as well. And that's the whole point of that.
I totally missed that.
You
know what,
TJ? You the judger. You don't judge a lot of people. You like Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd.
This guy.
Oh my God! But enjoy yourself, and the party continues this weekend. Real quick, man. Saw some dope news about the late Biz Markie. I saw he's getting an honorary street in his hometown in Long Island, nice. Named after him on September 25th. So that's real dope.
Nice.
That's what I'm saying, nobody beats the Biz.
Man, that's awesome.
Hey, listen, I know it's early in the show, but we gotta kick it off, man. Versus.
With TJ's favorite topic.
Versus. Ja Rule, Fat Joe. What y'all think, man?
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that I kinda went how I thought it would go. in that a lot of people forgot literally how deep Ja's bag is. And then also, I didn't expect Joe to play some of the hardcore anthem, the hardcore album cuts that he did that nobody really knew. That part I didn't expect, but as far as Ja Rule winning, I feel like everybody can agree Ja Rule won. Now that went how I thought it was gonna go because people really forgot how Ja had a stranglehold on the radio for a good 5-year run.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing, Fat Joe has a lot. I felt like song selection is a very huge part of Versus.
It is,
and Fat Joe proved my point because he had way more in the bag than he could have did. I would think. Versus what he did, he was taking album cuts when he literally had a bunch of other shit he could have played.
Yeah.
I walked into it thinking because of, I knew Ja's run. I'm not taking anything away from Ja. I knew he had a run. But Fat Joe has had a much longer and more consistent.
One of the longest in hip-hop history.
Right. So based on that, I was like, Joe gonna get it just off longevity. But Joe literally walked in with a W and walked out with an L. You know what I'm saying? Like, you fumbled that. Like, just by picking the wrong records. You know,
he did not play, Dave, he didn't play Safe to Say.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You picked the wrong record.
Yellow Tape. Wait,
Yellow Tape. It was Banger.
Which album was that?
I don't know that one.
I can't remember what album was on, but it was with ASAP Rocky and Lil Wayne.
Got like 30 albums, but you decided. I don't know if he was trying to, what you were trying to do, what his strategy was, but
no,
listen,
he was on some New York shit with a lot of those shits, because he thought that's that he was, and a lot of them shits he played, he thought was going to win.
He saw the previous verses and he thought,
they got different catalogs.
You
got
to look at your competition. Ja ain't coming with New York records. You know what I'm saying? He's coming with hit after hit. Ja had a string of bangers. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, I don't know if they were all bangers, but he had a string of hits.
Do you agree with Joe's statement that Ja was the Drake of his generation?
Nah,
I kind of. Yeah, because basically what he means, of course, is that Drake has like a lot of songs for women. Sometimes he drifts over to do kind of harder songs to keep the guys, but he does mostly, he makes his name off
and of he does the singing song. Thing too.
Right, and he does the singing thing. Now, you know, Ja kind of, he didn't straight up try to make R&B records like Drake has, but he does enough singing that niggas consider him a rap singer sometimes.
I think there's a lineage there that we can look at. I think, honestly, I would say yes for that era, but you can go back to that sing-songy style as far back as, and I'm just going early 90s, Domino.
Mm.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? It had the sing-songy rap, and then it kind of progressed into later 90s. You had Ja, you had Nelly. Into this era, you got the Drakes and pretty much everybody who's came after him. But of that era, it was Ja.
I agree, BA, but the Domino, he did have the sing songy, but I guess the only difference is that like he didn't make songs almost exclusively for women. Like Ghetto Pie, Sweet Potato Pie, and what was the first one?
Ghetto Jam.
So those were just more like, you know, straight backyard music, but Drake and everybody else literally makes girl songs.
Yeah,
I think that's the only difference.
Yeah, but that's the progression. That's the evolution of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a difference. It's going to start at one level, but somebody's going to keep escalating it and bringing it to a higher point. And so, yeah, that's just the natural evolution of how that style went.
And I think that nigga was wild drunk, Joe.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean,
he was mad disrespectful.
Well, I was just about to say that point. Like, he managed to get himself canceled in the midst of Versus.
the first rapper to get canceled in the middle of Versus.
Right. Like he didn't have to go hard like he did on Lil Mo and
he called him Dusty
Vida. Yeah.
First, I won't ever disrespect Lil Mo.
Man, like,
well, I mean, that nigga of course came back and had some humble pie.
I'm telling y'all right
almost
now.
Almost immediately.
TJ, Dave, I need y'all to get on this. If I ever in life find myself married, I need one of y'all to pull one of y'all industry strings and I need a little Mo singing at my wedding.
Lil Mo, okay.
That's a very real request.
And not so for real.
Now you can eat a dick. How about that?
did you see that?
Or 112.
No, definitely so for real, Drew. It got to be so for real.
Y'all can share a bag of dicks. Divide them up equally. How about that?
What was you saying, Dave?
Did you see that? Remy had came to Joe's defense and like Mo was going back and forth.
See, that's on some sibling. Like, my brother didn't mean it. I get that. But he was still wrong. But at that point, I feel like I ain't saying Remy was wrong and trying to defend Joe. But
that's a hard defense.
Remy had a point though. If what Remy said is true, she was like, I was there when he apologized directly to you.
Yeah.
So why are you bringing this to social media?
Yeah.
And so if that was the case, then I'm not mad at Remy for that.
Yeah.
I still love Mo though. I love Mo.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then of course, let's
face fact, Vita been in the gym, bro. When she said she needed a bologna sandwich, I was like, yo, you voted for that. But she been in the gym, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it definitely was good to see them. And of course, the other big moment everybody was talking about was the Nelly and Ashanti reunion.
With my hug.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, big head.
Nelly came out and said he didn't want no bad blood or feelings in the building or whatever. But come on, man.
Hey, listen.
Come on, man.
Hey, wait. Does anybody blame him?
Right. No, absolutely not.
Absolutely right. Not.
I don't think men or women are blaming him. Like, we would have been surprised if he didn't, because can we blame him? Did you see Ashanti?
Yeah.
Here's my thing too. Now, somebody said, I saw this on Twitter. They said it seemed like it might have been Shanine. She might have said that, you know, Ashanti was doing a little bit too much after, you know, she came out and did like a little extra after Nelly was off stage. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
I mean, well, no. That's not true. Don't anybody do that? Your ex is in the building. You might show out a little bit.
But I don't think she did anything.
I didn't see it though. Yeah.
What
I'm saying is she went a little bit like it was cool, like, you know, she always gonna be sexy or whatever, but it's like she was a little bit more gyrating than usual.
Well, did you see the live with her and Ja Rule and
Remy? Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah,
yeah, and Fat Joe when they was talking about, you know, look like Nelly was trying to get that old thing back.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Again, does anybody blame him?
But
she said, she said she had a man already. I was like, whoa, okay. Bing, all right.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she shut that
down. One part that hurt me the most.
One thing that hurt me the most is when Ja did Thug Lovin'. I put every part of my being was like, Bobby supposed to be bouncing out from the backstage somewhere at the beginning of this.
That would have shut it down. Like,
you know, the more I think about that, though, I mean, Bobby had a whole hard time singing Thug Lovin' at his verses. So yeah. I don't know how he would have did.
Hey.
Yeah, starring on somebody else's.
I don't care.
All he would have had to do was drink responsibility, man.
Real quick, I'm having a brain fart. Who did Bob go against in his verses?
Keith Sweat.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
Drink responsibility,
the one
man.
The one, okay, I remember now. Okay.
Now Keith was now. Hey, when you say between that versus Keith was the, I mean, Bobby was the sober one out of them too.
Yeah.
When Bob is the most sober person in the building, then he might be in the wrong building.
Right. Exactly.
And another thing with Joe, I'm going back to this. Like everybody saying he saw what the Locks did and what Dip said, then he tried to recreate it. Dude, that's not you.
Yeah.
You be the first one to be like Joper and Love Moment and this day, and you come out trying to be mad disrespectful. That's not you, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like he picked the wrong records.
And B.A., why do you hate FloJo, man?
He made a deep breath. We gonna be here all night.
I'm like, it just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
It didn't work
for me. Is that in your top 10 or top 5 hated songs? Because I know it's not your most hated.
It's not the most. It's definitely not the most hated. We all, everybody who, if you, you know, worst hated. But yeah, it's up there. It's up there. But I'll say this: I personally, when I heard that record, I did not think that guy would be around
30 years later.
For two years, let alone 30 years.
I agree with you. I totally agree.
I did not expect a second album.
Totally agree with you on that.
But yo, wait. Watch the Sound was on that first album as well. You remember that joint?
I did not expect a second album. I did not want a second album. I did not let this guy just come and go, get the hell up out of here, like go away.
But he gotta go, Joe.
Yes.
But it's like, yeah.
To his credit, like there was Fat Joe has always had progression in his music. And so yeah. By the second album, I was starting to become like, okay, he all right. But that first impression, nah.
But what's nah.
What I was going to say, what's funny is he's, you know, he's part of the Digging in the Crates crew, but yeah. He's not really looked at.
He got a hell of a pedigree with that crew, but that song did not. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So what? Since we know like he doesn't like Flo Jo, and we know his other song he don't like, what is the song that everybody can't stand?
Oh, that's easy for me. Laffy Taffy is right, probably in my top three.
Wow,
I'll give you another one.
What?
On Bended Knee.
Oh wow! Wow. You hate On Bended Knee, bro?
Yeah,
wow.
I'm not.
I don't know if wow. I knew that one.
Wow. Yeah, On Bended Knee didn't work. Actually, while we on Boys to Men, the song for Mama don't work for me either.
Oh man, come on.
It don't. It don't.
I avoid don't play that shit around me. I avoid listening to it, but I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. I'm not saying I hate it. I guess I didn't. It's Candy Rain, and then there's everything else. So there's a different. It's levels, but so don't play it around me. I'm not gonna enjoy it. That's all right. I'm saying.
Right. Another How about you, Peach?
I was gonna say another one I really hate is that In My Lifestyle song. Is that Young Thug? In My Lifestyle. Who is that?
It's Young Thug. Group?
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that song.
It's Young Thug and who was the other guy?
I think wasn't Baby on it. Wasn't
Rich Homie Quan.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
My song that I hate, y'all gonna judge me for this one. I hate Regulate.
I think I remember you mentioning that, dude.
I hate that song.
I don't understand. That's just.
I don't hate the song Regulate. I hate the story that I hate Warren G's character in Regulate. That nigga's an idiot.
Drew, do you hate the Michael McDonald song?
No, I like that song. That's the bad part. I like that song, but no, I hate
you just hate Regulate.
The irony of y'all forgetting the song, I keep forgetting.
Man, right.
I love that.
The
song,
irony of the guy who forgets everything mentioning I keep forgetting right. being forgotten.
Exactly. Wow.
MC
Light, Poor Georgie.
Yes, what? You do hate that song.
He hates that.
Every time it comes on in the car, he'd be like, turn that shit off.
Yo, let me tell y'all a very quick story about Poor Georgie.
Uh-huh.
And my brother it's called Instant Karma. We were at, I don't know if I remember this, I think it was my birthday party at the Shrine.
Oh, I don't remember this. Whatever you're about to say.
You don't remember
say.
This?
I don't think so.
We're at the Shrine. We got our little section or whatever, but for some reason, we're walking to or towards the section. I don't know where we're coming from. But the DJ plays fucking Candy Rain. And TJ, yep. You look at me and you just having a field day. You clown it. And I'm like, on my fucking birthday, you know what I'm saying? Like, and literally, as you're laughing with me, he blended it in with Poor Georgie. Like, there it is. Now you know how I feel, motherfucker.
I don't know how you don't remember that, because I think one of us was still doing Henny Black. And that's why we was able to get like the whole section and everything.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember the event. I don't remember that story. I probably blocked it out because I was forced to listen to Poor Georgie.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was an amazing moment of instant karma.
Sapporo, Georgia is my number one. And then running at a hot and closely contested number two is motherfucking Return of the Mac.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Why?
Yeah, that's
hard, bro. That's like, this is how you do it. This is how I do it.
Have you ever stopped to consider what he's saying in Return of the Mac? Like, have you thought about this? Like,
listen, as with anything else, it ain't what you do, it's how you do it. And it ain't what you say, it's how you say it. I don't like the way he sings and says the words. Fuck that song.
Yeah. You hate the way he say, "Oh my God."
Oh God.
I can't rock with you on that one. I will say this. When that song first dropped, I wasn't the biggest fan of it because I really I didn't pay it a lot of attention. And then when I actually listened to it, I was like, oh, this shit is brilliant. This is amazing artwork. How do you not like that record?
Dude, that song has longevity. It's played in commercials to this day.
Yeah, nigga, I know.
Yes, it do.
Fuck those commercials as well.
He said, yes, it do.
Okay, wow, yeah.
But, yeah. Woo. Yeah, that's... Yeah, most of my songs that I hate are like newer songs, but
yeah, we're not gonna count anything that was made after 2010.
Layla Hathaway just tweeted, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like 90. Well, she was like, "Is it me?" Or it's like 94% of the hip hop out today using the same hi-hat pattern in their songs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, all that shit sounds the same to me.
Right.
Speaking of the whole, and you know, I know we had this argument back and forth all the time about the old versus the new, but there was another young misguided soul who tweeted that Ice-T is a legend.
Dude!
Man. That has zero joints.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay, wait, real quick. The funniest part of that story to me is if you look through the thread after that, he kind of like goes back and is saying, not saying what he say. He's basically saying IC has no joints that he considers good joints. He ain't saying he ain't got no good songs.
He said he did. He pretty much basically did it just almost on a troll to say that.
And you know, sadly, that shit worked because fucking a lot of people responded.
Yeah, Questlove responded like, "Are you stupid?"
Right. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the story, basically this guy tweeted and basically was like, "I don't understand how high." Well, no, he said Ice-T is a hip hop legend. It's amazing. Ice-T is a hip hop legend with absolutely no good songs or zero great songs or something like that. And then people started naming all the fucking great Ice-T songs. Like, "Are you stupid?" But apparently he just did that shit to try to go viral, and it worked.
And I loved Ricochet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, Ricochet was my shit. Yeah.
CJ, do you remember literally summer of 88, 89 when Colors came out?
I do.
How often I played that record?
Yeah, no, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
You remember that y'all had to take my tape from me? Y'all would not. I kept rewinding it. Like, y'all literally, we was on the porch. We was playing the little, you know, the bucket ball joint.
Yeah.
And I had the radio, and I literally, I played Colors at least 7 times in a row before y'all took the tape. Because I would not stop. I wouldn't come off that record.
Bro, I bought Power from the flea market strictly because Darlene was on the cover.
Shout out to Darlene.
Man. And to this day, I still, New Jack Hustler is still in regular rotation.
Oh, yes.
With me, man. Ice-T has so many joints, bro.
Oh, so shit. Many joints. You know what, Drew? You said Ricochet, and I remember what was the song from Ricochet?
Ricochet.
It was just Ricochet. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, no, that was. But I was also thinking of the Trespass.
Trespass. Yep. That's all. Oh,
that was him and Q.
Yeah. Him and Q. Yeah. Ice-T has an amazing catalog. Put him in the verses against somebody.
Right.
Yeah. Ice-T versus Ice Cube. Let's go,
man.
No.
That's not the one.
That's not the one for Ice-T.
Maybe Ice-T and I don't know Spice one. No. Maybe.
That'd be an interesting one. Who would you put Ice-T up against?
Wait. Since we on the subject of, we can't skip past
what's going on now.
Right, the current elephant in the room.
Oh,
with all respect due to Ice-T, we have to now go towards who would y'all say? Y'all saying Diddy versus JD or Diddy versus Dre?
Listen, I don't think Dre's doing it. And I also think that Diddy and a lot of other people are sleeping on JD's catalog. So I think JD and Diddy would be a great versus, but Diddy seems to think he's the only person that is worthy of stepping in the versus ring with him is Dre. And Dre,
I think JD is the perfect person for him. And I don't know why they keep fronting on JD's R&B catalog. Like,
I think Diddy might really know, and that's why he's doing that whole Dre thing. Because I don't know if he really want to get in that ring with JD.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, like, JD's R&B catalog is far surpasses Puff's R&B catalog.
Yes.
Facts.
Far surpasses
facts. Yes.
On the hip hop side, that's where he gonna win.
Right.
You gotta play to your strengths.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, JD gonna play that Mariah. He gonna hit that Jagged Edge. He gonna hit that Escape.
Usher.
Yep.
That Usher. Listen, because Puff had Usher's first album. It didn't do so well. And then he went with JD.
Had Usher's second album.
Yes, and they didn't make a shit. And then again, somebody made the point. Like, listen, only one of these two men is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and it ain't Puff.
Mm. And only one of them smashed Janet. But you know, there's that.
Okay, all right, you know? All right. Okay.
I mean, really, like, yeah, no. JD's catalog.
So a Janet versus J Lo versus?
Right.
What we doing?
That's insulting.
Yeah. That's so insulting.
Sorry.
That was really insulting to Janet.
Yeah. Sorry, Janet. I love you.
But it's like I said. First of all, it was disrespectful for JD to be on that that live yesterday and saying that victory was mediocre.
Oh wow! He said the song
victory was mediocre.
Wow!
I was like, yo.
All right.
Puff was talking big dumb shit too, so I guess he said some dumb shit to counter.
No, he didn't. He just said, "Just give me Dre." That's all he pretty much was yelling.
And then he hung up.
Right.
Did you hear that Tyrese had hopped on there for a minute and said, yo, Tyrese on here. And Snoop was like, man, fuck Jody.
Okay, all right. So Puff versus JD. Who plays B-side?
Mm. Ooh.
Wow.
Well who produced it? I think that JD. Was JD.
Yeah.
JD got to play that, bro.
Yeah.
All right.
That's his only big joint, though.
Yeah.
Wait, is it?
No,
I don't know. It was big on
because I mean he can
remixes.
They could front on the crisscross and Bow Wow shit, but them shits is like them shits is especially crisscross. That's some historic rap shit.
Yeah, Puff was reaching on that one.
You can front on those records, but it's some hits there.
Yeah, jump still gets played.
I mean, once he played jump, and then he hit some Brat.
That's another historic record.
She's
the first solo female hip hop artist.
I get that, right? But I'm talking about stuff that you're gonna be like. Other than Tonight's the Night, okay, for Crisscross Tonight's, we got all of their catalog with the Brat, Funkified,
Money Ain't a Thing goes hard. You know that'll ring bells.
So Puff might.
Puff got one.
Which he probably wouldn't even fucking play. He would not even play.
If he followed the fat Joe logic, he will.
Somebody tweeted, they said, what happens to, you just mentioned that. He said, what happens when Puff hit the Latino version of that song? Somebody tweeted that. I was like, yo, if he played the Latin version of Public Enemy number one, I'm done.
Yo, that song was really fucking ridiculous. Jesus.
Is a Lady Luck on that version too?
No, that's a that one Lady Luck on there.
It was
no, it was Hurricane G.
Oh, Hurricane G.
Wow, sure was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but yeah.
Do we all agree that song was fucking ridiculous though?
Ridiculous.
Yes, it wasn't a good song. The video.
Can
was...
we put that on the list of songs that don't ever play that shit again?
I'm not even gonna front. I like
the.
Dave, I like.
When's the last time like you? When's the last time you played that shit?
It's on my iPod.
It's on my phone. Yeah.
That shit has no. It's a couple of joints on that album that like some.
No, I think the album was good.
I don't like the terrible video that much.
Yeah, the video was horrible, and that song is just a ridiculous ass song. It's not good.
I like the song. No, no, you know my joint on there on that album was though.
Was it Rewind?
The one with Nas, Benny Siegel, Journey. Was it Journey? Oh.
Ain't it like Into Life Backwards or something? Ain't it something? Well, I think it was called Rewind, but it's like Reverse. Nah. It's Reverse, ain't it?
No, nah, not that one. Reverse was the one with G Dep and somebody else on it. Right, but
I fucked with that one though.
No, this one had Nas, Benny Siegel, and somebody else on the record.
Remember how the story with Kanye and Rockefeller, and they were like, if it flop, at least with Okam on every song. That's what Diddy did with that album. It was a mad posse cuts, and that's the only thing that made it listenable.
No. Yeah, but that album was trash. I remember that album. But wasn't it like Satisfy You with him and R. Kelly on there?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yo, God. I'm surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised Joe didn't play his R. Kelly shit.
Go
back to that.
Because it was a nice size hit for him right before What's Love. But I'm pleasantly surprised he didn't. I really thought he probably would. But
what song was that?
I don't even remember the name of it.
It was the one that came out before What's Love.
Right, it was his first single off the Still Evie album.
Yeah, don't I forgot.
It went like number five on the top.
I just remember
on
the
Billboard
video kind of sort of.
Yeah, it was a popular record.
It was a big ass record. I'm surprised he didn't play that shit.
I don't remember it.
But Puffy wouldn't play none of his shit from that second album. In a Versus with JD.
I Need a Girl wasn't on there. That was on the remix album.
No, that was on This Is the Remix.
But yeah, he can play those. Okay. I mean, yeah, he can play those because he feature rap. But like, shit, Puffy, JD would kill him with Dealt With.
The Bad Boy for Life album was we 10 times better. Oh, We Thug.
Oh, We Thug. Yes, okay, I remember now. All right.
Yep. Damn, I can't believe that was the name. Didn't he do another single with him or something?
He did.
After the We Thuggin'? Because that wasn't the one I was thinking about.
He did.
He had a couple hits with fucking Kells, and I'm surprised he didn't play them shits. I'm pleasantly surprised anyway.
Yeah, that's when Kells was really in his bag. Because he did Hotel with Cassidy and a bunch of other joints.
Yeah.
He did Hotel.
All right, so piss be damned. Ain't nobody really going in a fucking battle with
No,
R. Kelly.
Because, no. Oh.
With Kells? So
you saying a potential versus battle with Kells?
Nah.
Yeah, if Kells was walking around freely and able to do a versus, there would be nobody
who
can go in that ring with him.
Nobody. Nah. Absolutely. Nobody. I think somebody, and no disrespect, because I think he's an amazing artist, but I think somebody had the nerve to say Joe. And
Joe would not come close.
No,
yeah.
No, Joe hasn't had I was going to say, is that even that? No, there's really nobody.
Yeah.
There isn't. There's nobody who can do that. And so I'll take that for Chicago. We got that. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, he wouldn't be paying me.
Just think if the artists were alive today, we could have had a Michael Jackson versus Prince versus.
Them niggas wasn't going to listen.
Listen. Right.
Maybe, they might. No, they got cooler about certain shit towards the end. Right. So maybe, maybe.
Prince would have cussed his ass off for suggesting it.
Yeah.
Okay, pick up a guitar, Mike. we're gonna play the records. We're gonna play all the records.
Hey man, if you gotta get a
no band, we just
that's
play
funny.
Them.
No, that's what JD could do to fucking Puffy, because it ain't really like Puff was totally orchestrating all those Bad Boy hits mostly by himself like JD was.
This is true.
You tell, put a fucking SP in front of him and be like, all right, play that, Puff. Play this that you air quote produced.
Also, play me a rapper that you wrote for.
Oh, wow.
And that's the other thing. JD could, even if he didn't, he just got, JD got a lot more in his bag than people are giving him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it is an absolute viable versus potentially.
Yeah, I love JD. I love JD's catalog, but I've been a Bad Boy stan for years. I'm going with Puff on this one.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be an amazing battle, and it would be very close. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Drew. I think Puff definitely would edge JD out.
Right. Because once he played the Benjamins, we all gonna lose it.
Man, I mean, Benjamins, Hypnotized, like it's so many. And like you said, like if he goes in his Mary bag, you know, he got Mary joints. It's
no, he can't. Apparently, he can't go into what's the 411 because JD put him on blast already for that one. He went to somebody Puff's what's the 411's Wikipedia page and was like, "Hey Puff, where your name at?"
Mm. Oh wow!
So he basically
just A&R'd that project.
Basically,
that's
because a lot of the big shit was fucking Prince Mark Chuck. And D.
Yeah,
and Chuck and others like so. I guess he didn't really start trying to produce. Until Mary's second album?
Yeah.
But that was mostly fucking Chucky Thompson, God bless him.
Mm.
Puff gonna throw in that super cat.
Dolly My Baby?
Right.
I swear I was just thinking that.
Puff gonna throw Dolly My Baby.
He rapped on it, and it's a feature for him if he wanted to use it, so he could.
He got you. Hey, super cat, you ain't doing nothing. Come on out.
Hey, come perform. Got it, my baby.
Right.
Let me get into some real quick. If you guys haven't got a chance to, it's a documentary on Rick James on Showtime.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that.
I should probably get Showtime for that, huh?
I'm gonna definitely check that one. I'm so behind on my docs. I wanted to see that and the one about Dick Gregory too.
Oh shit, where's that one at?
Showtime.
Oh shit! All right,
I really should get Showtime.
Probably, but yeah, that Rick James, that man, Rick was about that life for real, for real. Forget that Charlie Murphy story. Rick was about that life,
man. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that out. And then WAC 100 apparently has an unreleased Kim Kardashian and Ray J tape.
Oh Jesus!
What?
What? Oh, wow.
Does the world need a Kim Kardashian and Ray J?
Like, we know it existed already, so do we need to see a second tape? Is it recent?
No. It was just an unreleased, unedited version.
Like, yeah. How many times can I watch Mr. Marcus and Jada Fire? Like, I've seen it.
Listen, wouldn't it be funny? Because y'all know that apparently it came out that Ye cheated on Kim with an A-list actress right after she had the second kid, right?
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
A-list actress.
Yeah,
who?
They didn't say who the actress was, but like that just like. But they said he like alluded to it in some lyrics. If you listen to whatever he's saying on some song on Donda, he alluded to it. But yeah, apparently right after she had Saint, Kanye was.
She didn't even have Saint, did she?
Well, whatever. Right after Saint was born. No, she did. No, she had Saint. I think she didn't use a surrogate to like the third or fourth one.
Okay.
Right after she had Saint, apparently Kanye was spending a lot of time in his Hollywood studio, recording studio, and he apparently smashed some A-list actress. But wouldn't it be hilarious if she fucking did fuck Ray J again? Like that would drive him insane. If it was anybody else, like, you know, he'd be fucked up about it, but like Ray J would really fuck with him if it was him again.
Ray J going
to drop the new song, I Hit It Again.
Right.
But my point when bringing that up was like, I don't care about a unreleased Ray J and Kim video unless it's recent, because then that's some fucked up shit. But everybody knows and probably has seen that first one. So I don't think that's a big ass joker that he got.
Well, apparently, it's the director's cut, and he was going
get it's like the Snyder cut for the Justice League,
unreleased version.
But Wack said he was going to gift it to Kanye. I'm like, come on, man! Like, really?
What the fuck? That don't even make sense.
Yeah, but
that's very whack.
Whack. Yo, we got a very special guest on the show today joining us. Yo, very good friend of mine. I've known this young lady for a long time. She's doing a lot of big things. She's an actress. She's a producer. She's an entrepreneur. She's an advocate for mental health and mental wellness. And she is the creator and owner of Power by Tahereh J. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Tahereh J in the building. What's up, lady?
Hello.
What's going on? What's happening?
Did he get it right this time?
He got it right.
He got, he got it right. It was okay. Perfect. Man. It was perfect.
Now watch, when they see each other in person, you're going to mess up an interview.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yo, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on. You guys are hilarious. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. How are you? How are you all doing?
We're good. You know, we aim to please. You know,
listen, I just want to. I don't know if anyone gave you a contract, or just know that if someone offends you on this show.
Man, listen here, Mr. Me Too movement. Stop it.
My skin is thick. I'm locked and loaded.
Thank you. Thankfully, you've met the whole cast before, so you shouldn't be in for too many surprises.
But she said I was the mature one.
Right. Sometimes people have.
You guys are big on making sure that I'm wrong in that area. I want to be right.
Yo, BA is definitely not the mature one. Sorry. But
I'm okay with that. I'm the most
sometimes first impressions are not always.
What that means is that I'm able to carry myself and conduct myself in a way that is
that boy trying to get intellectual.
How did I go? You can digest my
But the point, you're an adult. You're supposed to be like that all the time.
I'm me.
Life is about balance. Life is about
exactly.
balance.
So right. Exactly. Exactly. I'm a damn Gemini. It's the twin.
There you go. Well, Tahereh, we are very happy to have you today. Actually making history because you are the first woman guest on the series 33 and the third. So look at that. You know what I mean? And
why didn't he hit the sound effect, man? Hit the
Oh, I know. Every other time you hear the sound effect. Today,
yes, I like the sound effect. Yes.
So, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about with you. You know, I know you. We know each other from the acting world. You know, you've seen Tahereh on some TV shows. She's done theater. She's produced her own films. Tell us where you know some of the things people might have seen you in. And what projects you've worked on in the past?
Okay, yeah, I was on The Chi, and as well as why am I forgetting what I've been on? Chicago Fire. I did Chicago Fire. I was also in a short called In Her Words that I believe is still streaming on Amazon Prime. I've done, like you said, everything from theater to a lot of indie work. I've toured with The Color Purple, not with like Broadway, but just, you know, I was able to do that show, which was great. So that's just a few things.
Now, what kind of, inspired you to, get into acting?
So I actually have been an actor since I was a kid, just acting a fool.
I get it.
Sounds like some people on the show.
Typically how it starts. But no, I actually started singing. I was a singer first, and I got asked to do, I want to say I was about maybe 14, 15. I got asked to do like a little skit at my church. And then I was like, sure, I'd never done it, and then from there, it just kind of opened my eyes to something, and I fell in love with it. And I just fell right into my passion. And so that's pretty much where it started for me.
Nice. Now you've also produced some of your own projects. Tell us a little bit about some of those.
Yeah. In 2016, I released my first short film called Green Grass.
Give it up for that.
You have sound effects. Why are you manually clapping?
Well, they kind of drown out, that applause. I got to get
it. Now you notice that. When did you come to that? I thought you didn't even know. I'm sorry.
See what I got to do.
This is so great. I love it.
They've been using that applause over us for how long we've been doing this podcast. I didn't even think he understood that it was loud and drowned us out. But I'm glad he came to the realization. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's amazing. But yeah, Green Grass was my first baby. What prompted me to do that one was, honestly, I guess I kind of hit like this wall in my acting career, in a sense, mm-hmm. where I found myself getting typecast early in my career, in my opinion. And so I was getting called for the same stuff, and I was like, listen, I got depth, like, y'all tripping. And so I was like, forget it, I'm gonna create my own. And then from there, just I'm actually about to release a series.
Wow, nice.
First series. Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, what did Green Grass build out of? Was this a concept or idea you had, you know, around for a while that you have been wanting to do?
No, actually, my best friend called me the day that I was trying to write. Mm-hmm. And I had a monologue. I could not figure out what I wanted to talk about. I was in a space, but I couldn't figure out, you know, what space I was in, because I was frustrated with my career. It was just a lot happening emotionally for me.
Yeah.
So she called me and she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to write and this sucks and it's not working. And so she kind of like had me talk through it with her. And I had this monologue, and the monologue was about basically this woman who and this man were going their separate ways. And when I was talking about the monologue, she was like, you know, that's my life, right? And I was thought about it and I said, oh, it is. Tell some of that story again. And yeah, she went through every detail with me and she allowed me to write. So it's actually about her life what she went through with her ex-husband. Yep.
Now, what was that process like, you know, producing your own film?
Oh, man, it was, I don't know, man, I don't even know how to put it in words. It's like almost like I don't have children or anything, but I can only imagine it felt like the journey of giving birth.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, for the first time, you don't really know what it's going to be like. You don't know who's going to receive it. And the writing process, oh, my goodness, I had never written anything before in my life outside of maybe a couple of hooks or something on a song or whatever, but it was amazing, man. It was amazing. I learned a whole lot. Just, you know, everything from, you know, how to actually, you know, format the script. And, you know, I realized that I talk too much. It was a lot of words, a lot of detail. I was like, oh, I do talk a lot. Huh? It was like every detail. And it was like, no, that's too much. It's a short film. And so, and then everything from just lessons of, you know, how to format your team and all of those things. I have a really big heart for women and making sure that we're equal and being, you know, at the tables. And so my whole crew was women. Whole team was women. So, but just even learning how to make sure that you are choosing the right people, the right fit, the quality. I'm a huge quality person. So yeah, it was a lot of lessons. And then I had a really big premiere. I think you were there.
Mm-hmm. I was.
It was a really big premiere that I did for it, and it was just beautiful, man. Even though it wasn't perfect, it had a lot of things that needed to be worked on. It was amazing. So seeing it, then how it touched other people that had gone through what the characters had gone through, you know, being in relationships and pretty much thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. And so my first project, for people to respond the way that they did, it just felt good. And it was like, yeah, man, I'm only up from here.
Nice. So is that something you want to do more of in the future?
I do. I want to tell authentic stories. Like, I just really want to, you know, give us a opportunity to, you know, like most people that, you know, are in filmmaking, tell their own stories. And, you know, I want to press some buttons. Yeah, I got some stuff up my sleeve. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's what's up. Well, you know, congratulations on that. You did a masterful job.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're definitely looking for more of that from you. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit because I want to touch on the, you know, the mental health, you know, topic. But I want to, before I go to that, I want to fast forward to Power by Tahereh J.
Yeah.
Now, you decided you wanted to create your own cosmetics line.
I did.
and you did it. So tell us how this, you know, came about, and you know what Power is about, and what inspired you, you know, to do that.
Okay, yeah. So Power by Tahereh J. I've always wanted my own lipstick line. Anybody that knows me, when you see me, I have on lipstick. I love it. And I had this plan. Like most people, we have these plans, and my plan was to be on some Rihanna stuff. I was going to be famous. And everybody's gonna know me, and then I was gonna drop a line, and you know, all of this great stuff. And then life really kicked in, and the pandemic came, and that's pretty much where me launching it came from. Just realizing that life is short, mm-hmm. and I went on my own personal journey. I lost my home at the end of 2019 to a flood, I lost everything I own. Right after that, the pandemic hit, and it was just back-to-back stuff. And I just really learned that, you know, you can only do what you can do, and of course, and life is going to do what it's going to do. And yeah. So as I was going through this journey, God just told me, like, you know, this lipstick line. And I was like, I had been playing with it for years. I mean, I pick it up, put it down, pick it up, hit it, put it down. And I finally was like, all right, okay, cool. Okay, let's move, let's go. And I got everything together. Again, I'm a lipstick connoisseur, so the formulas, I studied it. I actually have a certification in makeup artistry. I don't do anything with it, but I'm very familiar with it. And so everything was ready to go. And then I was like, I can't move yet. It's not ready. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And it was simply because it didn't have any impact. And I'm a woman of impact. I need things to have purpose. And so I could have easily just sold lipstick. But after everything I had gone through within the last few years, I woke up in the middle of the night and this guy gave me this vision. And it was to take my love for color psychology, which is pretty much why I love, you know, lipstick and colors and all that stuff. And kind of just assembled and intertwined it with lipstick to invoke women empowerment and mental wellness. So that's where it came from. Yeah.
That's dope. And so, like, when women buy this lipstick, they can also, it's going towards like therapy and creating this therapeutic experience, I guess.
Yeah, so colors have meaning. Every color that we wear has a meaning. And so I've chosen colors specifically to, you know, empower you. And so, you know, even with men too, typically most people, we wear or we're drawn to things depending on how we feel. Sometimes we might go, if you're feeling sad, what do you think you might go for? What color?
It's
yellow,
dark. That's so true because, you know, typically if we're feeling sad, we might go for a darker color, but if we're feeling sad, we don't want to be sad anymore, so we will go for yellow. And that's the color psychology in it.
This
yellow
asshole done backed into a right answer, and he was trying to be an asshole.
This is what I do,
but sir. He's absolutely right.
Been 42 years of that. That's how I roll.
So the colors all have meaning. So and then we also, when we read things, even if we don't memorize them, the way that the brain works, we connect. If you see something, even with advertisement, you know, you see something over and over again, all of a sudden, if you see a donut commercial a couple of times, you might want a donut after a while. And so all of those things I use with the lipstick. So every shade has an affirmation attached to it. And I break down the color, the definition of the color. So if you're feeling a certain way, like our signature color, Power, which is red, and red is confident, boldness, is one of those shades that most women are afraid to wear because it's so bold, it's so rich, and but that's when you wear it, that's when you throw it on. And science has shown that when women wear red lipstick, men listen, they tend to listen a little bit more.
So it's been like scientific studies that show that
Do we listen
women
more?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm. I didn't hear that. No, I'm joking. Mm. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm
so
joking.
No, that really
depends
happens.
On who has the lipstick on.
Yeah, and it's not just men, it's just people in general, but the science have shown that men are more you know, because y'all can zone out a little bit, and yeah. Something about red, it draws to the lips, so you're watching the lips, you paying attention to the lips. So I always tell women, like, if you have I'm trying to hear you.
That doesn't mean you're listening.
Oh. Yo.
You might not be listening, you might be thinking about something else, but even if it's not, you know, directly me, in general, if you, like I told, I have women who do speaking engagements. I'm like, mm-hmm. You want to wear red. People are more prone to listen longer. They're drawn to your mouth. And so they're actually looking at your face, looking at your lips and listening to what you're saying. So yeah, colors are powerful. And so each shade, like I said, is broken down. I'm very intentional about the colors that I choose. Some people have asked for certain colors, but it's like, yeah, you don't really want to wear that color
because
of what it means. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey. I actually had a cancer patient reach out to me yesterday. I have a shade called Hope. I actually had two cancer patients hit me up, just giving me their feedback. And one of the young ladies wore the power shade while she was going to chemo, and she was like, I just felt uplifted and I felt powerful and I felt like I could get through this. And I have another shade called Hope that's pink, and it's pink is represents calming and, you know, look, you know, basically just straightforward and hope and hate to use the word, just find the word, but that shade just really resonated with her and what she was going through. She was like, I'm in a season where I'm just really hopeful about everything. And then I had people who are drawn to colors and don't even really understand why they chose the color. But then when I would talk about, you know, what's going on in your life and they talk about it, you know, like I have a shade called Renewed. It's a green, it's a very bold color. And it's like, man, I just wanted to try it. Well, you wanted to try it because you're looking to release some things and be grounded and be renewed. And so that's what it does. And it's been amazing to watch. It's been amazing to just see people connecting with it. And of course, the mental wellness aspect. I have a really, really, really big heart for mental health. Just having a background with one of my parents going through it and some family members. And so over the years, I've really fallen in love with mental wellness. And so a portion of my proceeds goes towards women who cannot afford mental wellness therapy. Yeah. So it helps pay for their therapy so they're able to continue.
That's dope. So you basically like pay their bill and it'll go to an organization that specializes in mental health for women of color. That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
That's right. Awesome. I got it. I'm not going to do the sound effect, but I got to clap it up for that. You know what I'm
saying? Thank you.
Now I gotta ask too, like what mood or does black lipstick define? Because, you know, black is always usually associated with the goth look. You know what I'm saying? So right. Very, you know, dark, moody look. What is that for you?
So black for me is, and I've actually had this conversation before. Yeah. And the more that I explore black, because it is a shade that is coming for me, that I'm going to add, but it's typically, like you said, it's associated with goth or negativity. Yeah. And actually black is very, very uplifting. When you look at the understanding or just, you know, reading the definition of it, and it signifies a strength. Mm-hmm. Boldness as well, confidence as well, and it also signifies overcoming. So I actually decided to name that shade when I do release it, Melanin, because it really in every part of the definition represents us as people, everything that we've overcome. So it's just crazy how, you know, we're black, and then when you look at the definition of black, although in, you know, everywhere you go, black is negative. It is, you know, in television and movies, it's the evil character represents evil. But when you really break down the definition of it, it's actually uplifting. So, I'm more than likely going to throw some people off with how I'm going to use black to uplift.
Dope. So tell people where they can, you know, purchase Power.
Yeah, so everything is Powered by Sahara J. So powerbysaharaj.com. I'm also on social media, on Facebook, Powered by Sahara J, and then Instagram, Powered by Sahara J.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to break down a spelling. So it's Power by NT as in Tom, EHARAHJ.
Are you also looking to expand to other types of cosmetics?
Right now, I am focusing on just lips and lip care.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm gonna, you know, go, you know, too much further into it because, again, it's about the color psychology for me, and the other stuff can kind of get lost. So I don't intend to expand like foundations and all of that stuff. But hey, you never know. Right now, it's just like in our lives and journey, it's still being built and all of that great stuff.
I just have a question in reference to the mental health aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Just why do you think there's such a stigma on mental health, especially in the Black community?
Oh man,
you know what I mean. We have those family members. We like, so he a little touched, but we just kind of brush it off. But why is there that stigmatism there?
I think more so just generations of just trying to survive. So it's easier, in my opinion, to ignore certain things. We just come from a culture where we have to survive, and it's one of those situations where we are going through things and it's like put it on the shelf, and we have a lot of trauma and a lot of our issues and a lot of our mental issues specifically are stemmed from trauma, and we're not really taught how to deal with anything. And I think that's the biggest thing. We don't know how to, we go through things or we're impacted by things and we don't know what to do with it. So we maybe might think about it for a second, maybe tell a friend, but then essentially we're going to just put it on the shelf and keep it moving because that's just how generations have done it. And so when you start to have a conversation about anything that can go against how we've been doing things for years, then you have this battle. And so the stigma just comes from, you know, that pride, honestly, just, you know, needing to be a certain way or look a certain way. And then also ignorance, not really understanding that you can have some mental challenges. Like people don't realize that sometimes we think that, you know, we have, it's a difference between a trauma response and a mental illness. Sometimes we go through something that impacts us, but if we deal with it properly, we don't necessarily have to have a mental illness. That just means what you're dealing with, your body is responding to the stress. And, you know, like you could just have a temporary, I won't say temporary, but you just have this moment in a sense of feeling off or being off. But that's what therapy comes in. And once we go to therapy and we process this trauma, break the trauma down and get guidance on how to deal with it, the body can release certain things. When we don't deal with trauma, your body's going to respond to it whether you deal with it or not. And that's where some, you know, behavior traits and questionable things kind of come in. And then, of course, you have mental illness, and there are people who are really struggling and have to take medicine. And it's okay. It doesn't define you, doesn't change that, you know, the impact you can have on the world. It's just, you know, you're made up different than someone else. So I'm really, really about, you know, of course, adding to the conversation of breaking that stigma. But I think that in essence, just, you know, ignorance and, you know, lack of understanding, and then tradition in our culture of just not dealing with trauma is why we have that stigma.
Yeah. I think the Black culture in general and Black men specifically have it. Like we will bottle things up and like just there's sometimes we can't vent to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that causes more issues. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, that's because we just pretty much say that, you know, man, look, we ain't supposed to talk to each other, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're taught at a young age to suck it up.
Say that. The seed is planted very young. Mm-hmm. Your voice is taken away from you. You know, as soon as if a child falls on the ground, especially a young boy, falls down and he scrapes his knee and it's bleeding, the first thing someone's going to say is, it's okay, it's okay. Uh-uh, you okay, you good.
Yep. Come on, get up. Be tough.
And you be tough, be a man. You be a man. And you just planted the seed that anytime pain is associated, that I am to dismiss it. So it starts young. So we don't realize the thing. We have to be careful on how we talk to children and how we navigate children's emotions, because in that moment when you said, tough it out, be a man, you good, you're good. No, he's bleeding. There's blood. Right. This is painful. Now he's associating pain with suck it up. And so now as pain happens over and over in life, because you can't get around it, you're going to get hurt. Things are going to happen. Things are going to impact you. And so especially with men, it's even more extreme with this, just, you know, be quiet, you're good, you're good. So then naturally you become the stone face, stone cold, don't want to deal with anything. And then the cycle just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Agreed.
What were like some of the things that helped you the most? Because, you know, I know in your bio, you know, mentioned that you struggled with anxiety and depression.
Yes. Yeah.
What were some of the things that helped you the most?
Me specifically, that helped me was prayer. Being a believer in Christ, that is what has really grounded me, just having my faith that, you know, things will shift, you know, in the situation. And then just the certain practices, you know, with anxiety and depression, it's mental. So I had to teach myself how to redirect to therapy. I actually just started back therapy because, you know, life be happening. Life be lifing. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going back. But yeah, just learning, you know, how to, but I've done a lot of self-work. I'm not going to lie. My first round of therapy was not very long because I love and I embrace mental wellness so much that I pretty much taught myself a lot of things. So just redirecting my thoughts, breathing exercises, really learning my triggers. That was like the biggest thing. I had to really dig and allow myself to feel so that I can know what's bothering me. Like, I'll take seconds and I'll ask myself, like, yo, are you okay? What's happening right now? And I'm literally talking to myself. And that might sound crazy, but it's my way of taking a second and getting a hold of whatever's happening and processing. So I've been able to process a little faster. Like, okay, yeah, that bothers you. This is what's happening. Cool, we need to go this route. So I'm constantly just redirecting my thoughts. I'm heavy on essential oils. There are so many different essential oils that calm anxiety. Peppermint oil is one of the ones I burn all the time, especially if I'm under pressure from, like, you know, if I have a deadline or something like that. But yeah, those are the few things, you know, prayer, just being able to do these practices, breathing, so many breathing exercises. And I actually am going to start diving into some of those things on my page in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah.
Those have been like extremely helpful. And of course, therapy and having someone that you can, you know, talk to that can, you know, be neutral and, you know, have that outlet. That's very important, having an outlet.
Yeah, definitely. Your mind is like, it's basically another gut. It's another stomach. You got to feed it. You know what I mean? Yep. And feed it with peace and positivity, and then take time out for yourself. Put down the phone, turn off the TV. Absolutely. Do what is going to give you peace, because, you know, like you said, life be lifing, and, you know, so you gotta, you definitely gotta do that. But much appreciated for you, you know, coming on the show, sharing with us. You're welcome back anytime. Tell us what else you got coming up on the acting tip, on the producing tip,
everything.
What you got coming up?
So I have another company called CRJ Entertainment, where I do impactful events and film production. So like I said, I have a series that's coming up that's actually tied to Power by Tahera J. So it's so crazy how everything connects, the things you do. And it might look like it's not connecting, but it does. So I decided to do a series. It's my first series, which is not easy to do because, you know, it's a series. It's broken up. It's a lot of work. But I'm very excited about it. And it's I invited six women or five women, including myself, to basically come on and tell their personal journeys of power and finding their power and embracing their power. So they kind of go off of the affirmations of the lipstick and they identify with one and they kind of tell their story about, you know, and how that connects with them. So that series is going to be dropping very soon. I also have another project that's in post-production called Hashtag Yeah Me Too, which is my, my, I guess, like, I call it my coming out of sorts, a story regarding my reaction to the Me Too movement and my personal experience of being sexually assaulted or raped, in a sense. So that project is in post-production. Then I also have an event, because I do events as well, that's coming out October 31st. Called Vibe and Chill. It's a Harlem Nights themed. It's going to be amazing. We got a live band. So that's just a few things that's actually coming up. I just was in a series called Love Goes. I just wrapped that as an actress. So I've been busy. It's getting busier.
I see.
You move.
Man, you know, if you're hiring, let us know. You know. But man, once again, y'all, let's give it up for Tahera J. definitely, if you haven't, go right now to powerbytaharaj.com, buy some lipstick, you know what I'm saying? Support a great cause and a great person. And we thank you for being on the series 33 and the third. Anybody
thank you for having me.
Say, give out your socials in case people want to follow you.
Oh, yeah, I can give it out again. So it's Powered by Tahera J on Facebook and on Instagram.
All right.
There it is.
Yo, that was an amazing interview with our girl Tahera J. Really appreciate her coming on. And yo, man, that's been another episode of On the Serious 33 and the Third podcast, man. We appreciate y'all for tuning in once again. Much love to everybody.
I think next episode we'll be celebrating our year anniversary.
Drew, you might be right, man. I think you might be right. I didn't even realize that, man.
Yes, sir.
We've been rocking a year now.
A year.
Wow.
That's a new one on Marcus.
Sure is, man.
Okay. Thank you to the four people who listen. Appreciate y'all.
Dang.
That's all right. That's all right. You know what I'm saying?
And that one guy in Switzerland.
Year two going to be better.
Exactly. You know, Rome wasn't built in a year, you know? Neither was Harvey. So,
Harvey was built in a year.
That shit just kind of appeared.
Harvey was actually built.
Harvey like Atlantis.
Yeah. That shit is like a fallout shelter.
Oh my god. Yo, thank you for everybody for tuning in. And keep tuning in. Tell a friend, you know, somebody. And we'll check y'all next week. Appreciate y'all.
Bear down.
Oh god. Bear with us.
Oh wow. All
right, y'all. We out. Yeah. Peace.